This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, good evening and welcome. This is Dr. Heath Teal, and welcome to our weekly Bible study, All Queers Must Die. This, of course, is a presentation of your local radio station where we study our Bible, and we proffer the belief every week here on All Queers Must Die that the Word of God is eternal and unchanging. And we believe that the Bible is the literal Word of the Lord. And of course, we begin with Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. It says it there very clearly that homosexuality is a sin. Do not practice homosexuality. It is a detestable sin, the Lord tells us in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. So a lot of you who want to fool around and try to say it doesn't say that, or the Bible doesn't mean that, my friend, read it and weep. It's right there in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Homosexuality is a sin, a detestable abomination in the eyes of the Lord. What other things has God told us to do? Well, that is what our Bible study is all about here every Wednesday night on Phil Hendry's Bible Study Can Be Fun If You Ain't Queer. Now, we'll go to some phone calls. I know I have a fine young woman here calling us from Ogallala, Nebraska. Hello, dear. How are you? And welcome to All Queers Must Die.
Yes. Dr. Teal, it's always a pleasure.
Yes, dear.
Dr. Teal, in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9.
Okay, this is not Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 about gays?
No, this is Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9. It says that a bull can be sacrificed on an altar, and the odor is pleasing to the Lord. And I've tried sacrificing a bull in my apartment, but the stink coming off of obviously burning bull flesh is bothering my neighbors. How should I deal with that?
Well, the Bible does tell us that the internal organs and legs must first be washed with water. Are you doing that?
Yes, I am. And
then that the priest will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar. Do you have priests there?
I do. They are Christian ministers.
All right. It is a whole burnt offering made by fire, and it's very pleasing to the Lord. Is it made by fire?
Yes, I'm burning a bull in my apartment. The problem is that there's a...
So your neighbors are complaining about the stink?
Yes.
All right. Well, I would say to them that you are a believer, that you believe in God, and I'm sure they'll understand.
No, they don't understand. Hey, Teal, how did you get out of school? I'm telling you, I'm burning a bull in my apartment, and the people...
All right. This is Bible study on the line. Now, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 7, let's see what it says, because I think it's important for you to know that if you have a daughter, you may sell her into slavery, but you might want to know what a fair price is. According to Exodus chapter 21, verse 7, when a man sells his daughter as a slave, she will not be freed at the end of 6 years as the men are. So let's take a phone call on that. You had a question about that, didn't you, sir?
Yes, I did, because I want to sell my daughter into slavery, as the Lord says we can in Exodus chapter 21, verse 7. What's a fair price for her in this day and age, though?
How old is she?
Well, she's 8. She's a cute little girl. And I think she could probably, I don't know, maybe wash and wax some floors or something. I don't know what, blonde, blue-eyed, and that sort of thing, Dr. Teal. What do you think?
I would say that if you have a daughter who is a small child, the Bible directs us that we can sell our daughter into slavery there in Exodus 21, verse 7, which comes somewhere after or before Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, that says being homosexual is a sin. So after you figure out that you're not a homosexual and you're not committing a sin, you might want to sell your daughter into slavery as the Lord dictates. And I would say a good price, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $15,000.
Great. Sold, American. Thanks so much, Doc.
You're welcome. Yeah. Thank Benny Johnson and the boys on drums and piano here on Bible Study. All right. Man, that cooks. That's cooking about as good as that bull in that lady's apartment, as a matter of fact. That's pretty nice. Ah, yeah. Someday my prince will come. Yeah. All right. Let's get back here to Bible Study on the line. Our next quotation comes to us from Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19 through 24. And we have a phone caller, someone who wants to deal with that one. Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Teal, in Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19 through 24, it states that I may not have any contact with a woman while she is in her period of menstrual uncleanliness. The problem is, how do I tell? I've tried asking, but most women take offense to that. Can you help me out with that?
You know, that is a very good question. The Bible does tell us in Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19 through 24, that whenever a woman has her menstrual period, she will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. If you touch her during that time, you will be defiled until evening. So you don't want to touch a woman who's in her menstrual period.
Well, I'm afraid I... I might have blown it. I mean...
Well, all right. That means you'll probably rot in hell or something. I would simply walk up to the woman, and when she's not looking, maybe give her a little grab there someplace. If it comes up tuna fish, you know what we're saying.
Well, thanks a lot. You're so sensitive and so religious.
Thank you. Yes, Leviticus does tell us, chapter 15, verse 19 through 24, do not touch a woman during her menstrual uncleanliness, otherwise you will be defiled. And we do believe that God's word is eternal and unchanging. You can't fool around with God's word. So after you get done sacrificing that bull in your living room and then selling your daughter into slavery and then touching a woman who's at her menstrual cycle, you'll rot in hell. And while you're thinking about rotting in hell, Eddie Jones on piano and bass here this evening. Cocktails, of course, at your table. Just tip your waitress. All right, now we'll go on to our next little bit of interesting information here. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 44. In Leviticus chapter 25, verse 44, it states that you may buy slaves from the nations that are around you. And a gentleman has a question about that.
Hi, Doc. Great listening to you.
You can back off your phone, please.
All right. In Leviticus chapter 25, verse 44, it says that I can buy slaves from nations that are around us. Does that mean Canada or Mexico? Which would be the best deal to go? Because I don't know what's the best price. What am I going to get? Best buy for my dollar.
What's the best bang for your buck when you're buying slaves from nations that surround you? The Lord tells us in Leviticus 25, verse 44, you may purchase male or female slaves from among the foreigners who live among you. I would say that obviously Mexicans kick ass.
I knew you'd say that, Doc.
You got it, baby.
I love your damn show.
All right. So keep in mind that when the Lord tells us that we may buy slaves from foreigners who are around us, he's probably talking about Mexicans. You're not going to buy Canadians. You're not going to upset our fine white brothers, are you? Of course not. That's in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 44. So after you read and take literally all that stuff about homosexuality in Leviticus 18, verse 22, make sure that when you buy a slave, he's from Mexico. And I got a good one. After you sell your own daughter into slavery, then get yourself a slave from Mexico. Maybe somebody's daughter from Mexico. Beautiful stuff. You're listening to Bible Study here. I'm professor or doctor, whatever the hell I am. Howard Teal, or Heath Teal, whatever the name is. Yes, you're on the air. What did you want?
I want to tell you your name's Heath.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you for that. Now, moving on, we have another call. This is someone who wants to direct us to Exodus chapter 35, verse 2, which clearly states that if a man or if you have a neighbor who insists on working on the Sabbath, he should be put to death. Are you morally obligated to kill your neighbor if you see him working on the Sabbath? That is Exodus 25, verse 2. Or should you just let the cops do it? Here's a caller. Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Teal. Yes, that was it. I saw my next-door neighbor. Exodus 25, verse 2 says, each week, work for 6 days only. The seventh day is a day of total rest, a holy day that belongs to the Lord. Anyone who works on that day must die.
I would go ahead and do it yourself. Just if you see a guy working on the Sabbath, beat him with a hoe or a rake.
Thank you. I know the Lord will love me.
You got that right, baby. Yeah. You might want to pick up the CD, too, while you're beating your neighbor to death with a hoe or a trowel or something like a mason's trowel. Because the Bible clearly states, if your neighbor works on the Sabbath, you must kill him. Now, if your neighbor is a homosexual working on the Sabbath, you're in luck.
obviously homosexuality being a sin, according to Leviticus chapter whatever the hell it was. So if he's a fag and he's working on Sunday, you can kill him and be home in time for dinner.
You're listening to Fags Are People Too, Bible Study.
All right, we have time for one more here, then we'll take a break. We are going to direct your attention now to Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10. This is Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10. And what does Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10 tell us? Well, eating shellfish is an abomination. He wants to know, is this a lesser abomination than homosexuality? Yes, sir?
Yeah, that was a tough one for me because I had a lobster in my mouth and I was thinking, Jesus, the whole deal about fags, you know. And it says that eating shellfish is an abomination, doesn't it?
Well, what it says is, in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10, you are to distinguish between what is holy and what is ordinary, what is ceremonially unclean and what is clean. And what is unclean is eating shellfish. It is an abomination to the Lord. Now, is it more of an abomination than being a homosexual? I guess if you were a homosexual lobster.
That's great, Doc.
Now, I would say that being gay is probably worse than eating lobster, but not much.
Just don't have anything that small in your mouth.
All right, we'll return with more. I'm Dr. Heath Peel, or Teal, or whatever the hell it is.
I keep forgetting.
Me too. And this is Bible Study Can Be Fun, all the things in the Bible that you must do, along with thinking that homosexuals are an abomination, Jim. Sell that kid into slavery, but not before you have yourself a little bit of lobster, and then somebody comes along and beats you to death for working on Sunday. This is The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Or is it Saturday? I forget what the Sabbath is. What is it?
Gotta look it up.
Okay.
This is The Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back. Dr. Howard Heath Teal. That's it. That's the name we came up with before we went on the air. Welcome back to our Bible study. So, as you know, we believe that God's Word is eternal and unchanging. You must take literally what the Lord says. We learned this with Leviticus 18, verse 22. Do not practice homosexuality. It is a detestable sin. We also learned in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9, that you can burn a bull on an altar as a sacrifice. It creates a pleasing odor for the Lord. And even if it bugs your neighbors and you live in a small apartment building, keep burning that cow meat. Keep burning that bull flesh. Also, if you want to sell your daughter into slavery, well, Exodus 21, chapter 21, verse 7, says that you may. Although you want to get a good price for her, and we've been trying to advise people on that. Had a lot of fathers wanting to sell their daughters into slavery. We also have, of course, Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19 through 24. Don't touch a woman when she's in the middle of her menstrual period. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 44 states that if you buy a slave, it must be from a country that borders yours. We recommend Mexico. I don't know. You may have contacts elsewhere. Also, of course, in Exodus chapter 35, verse 2, that if your neighbor is working on the Sabbath, that would be Saturday, you are morally obligated to kill him. Either kill him yourself or have someone do it, but he must die. Then we, of course, have Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10. Eating shellfish is an abomination. The question was, is eating shellfish more or less of an abomination than homosexuality? Well, I got to tell you something. There are some nights when I walk into Neptune's Net and I look at the seasonal price on that thing. When I look at the price of shellfish these days, I'd rather be queer. Yes, this is Dr. Heath Teal. The Bible can be funny. Now, of course, we go to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 20. If a man has intercourse with his uncle's wife, he has violated his uncle. Both the man and the woman involved are guilty of a capital offense and will die childless. So right there,
If you don't have any kids, you're going to die without any kids. How does God know these things? Well, we don't know, but we know that literally, if you have sex with your uncle's wife, you'll never, ever have kids. Why? Because God says so. It's in the Bible. It has to be. We'll take a phone call now. Hi. You're on the air.
Yeah, there it is. That's the one I was looking for, because I just made it with my uncle's wife. So I won't have kids?
That's what the Bible says.
Hallelujah! Woo, baby! That's what I was hoping for. See, I can't stand kids. I thought I'd screw my uncle's wife, and that would do...
That's right. Bible says right there, Leviticus 20, you will die childless.
Thank you, Jesus! Hey, by the way, I just thought of something. If you find your neighbor working on the Sabbath, you better wait to kill him until the next day, or you're working too.
That's a very, very good point.
Yeah, see? I'm glad I listened to you there, Dr. whatever your name is.
That's a very good point. So if you kill your neighbor on the Sabbath, you're working, then somebody's got to come along and kill you. And if he will, you can see the chain reaction.
Oh, baby, that'd be a bad one. Wait till the next day. Wait till Sunday to kill him then.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Bible jazz. All right, now our next one here also comes to us from Leviticus, and this is chapter 20, verse 27. This is one of my favorites. Men and women among you who act as mediums or psychics must be put to death by stoning. They are guilty of a capital offense. Thank you, God. There goes Dionne Warwick. This is great. Hello, you're on the air.
Yep, that's another one. I just was...
Okay, pal, one call per show. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm a psychic. I have a psychic hotline. Read that one to me again.
Yes, sure. It says here, men or women among you who act as mediums or psychics must be put to death by stoning. It's in the Bible, and God's word is eternal and unchanging.
Oh, boy. That's a rough one.
Yeah, I'd shut it down. Shut it down, baby. And if you see Dionne Warwick around, I'm looking for her ass.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Don't screw with God, baby. Because God's word's eternal and unchanging. Now, here's one that really disappoints me. I am, of course, Dr. Heath Teal. This bothers me. This really bothers me because I thought I was going to get away scot-free. I thought I was going to read all of these marvelous biblical quotes to all of you fine people, and that I'd get away scot-free without having to die or otherwise go to hell. And then I saw it. Well, let's have the caller on the line who pointed it out, okay? Go ahead, caller.
Right, Dr. Teal. I was listening to you and getting really angry, and then I saw something that I figured applied to you. It's Leviticus chapter 20, verse 15. If a man has sexual intercourse with an animal, he must be put to death. So that's...
Yeah, you got me. You got me.
I knew it. I knew. So can I do the honors?
Go right ahead.
Okay, this is for everybody out there that can't stand your show.
Ow, that hurts.
Okay, so I just shut Dr. Teal. We can continue along here with Bible study. Had to kill him, though. He had sex with an animal, so he has to die. Not go to a hospital, not go to psychotherapy, you understand. Nothing so modern as that. Just shoot him. Why? It's in the Bible. It must be so. You're listening to God Doesn't Lie. It's in the Bible. Take it literally. Brought to you by the Department of Agriculture here at the University of Southern California. I'm a caller who just shot Dr. Teal because he has sex with goats. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
That whole thing about having sex with animals, so you must die, is that right?
That's right.
Okay, good, because I came out last night, and I've got myself, I got a couple of beautiful Clydesdales, and I got one old gray, and I saw a guy up on a milk bucket right behind one of them just going to town. You're telling me I could have blown him away?
I would recommend it, okay? I see anybody in my barn going at it with my goats.
All right.
Gonna go kill him?
You got it, man. Or maybe you already did. I think it was Dr. Teal.
All right, well, anyway, this is the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Hendry Show here. 1-800-449-8686. You know, I was reading this Leviticus, and it really is one of the more interesting parts of the Bible because it has some pretty interesting stuff. If you bring a bird as a burnt offering to the Lord, choose either a turtle dove or a young pigeon. The priest will take the bird to the altar, twist off its head, and burn the head on the altar. See, this is the part of the Bible that gives us the quote about homosexuality being... It's Leviticus chapter 18 that tells us that homosexuality is an abomination. But when you read the rest of this stuff, like in Exodus, this thing about your daughter being a slave. Now here's Leviticus 18 has got other stuff in it besides the homosexuality thing. It has, do not have sexual intercourse with both a woman and her daughter, or marry both a woman and her granddaughter, whether her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. See, there, right there, Schaefer, you're dead meat. You're right there, you know. You marry a woman and her granddaughter, you're in deep trouble. I told you. Didn't I tell you? Do not marry a woman and her sister, because they will be rivals. See, if you're going to take two wives, not a woman and her sister, not to mention the fact you'll go to jail. If your wife dies, then it's all right to marry her sister. Do not violate a woman by having sexual intercourse with her during her period of menstrual impurity. Okay, let's see a show of hands. How many of you guys are rotting and burning in hell over that one? Come on! What about you? You want me to? I ain't telling you nothing, man. I'm the host of the show. I'm above the fray. I won't admit to nothing, all right? But I will tell you this right now. There's a whole lot of sinners, okay? Do not give any of your children as a sacrifice to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. So it's an interesting it's an interesting little book there in the Bible. So that's Leviticus. The internal organs must be washed in a cow when you're going to sacrifice it. This whole thing about selling your daughter into slavery. If she does not please. Now, this is when you sell your daughter into slavery. For those of you out there thinking about it this summer. When a man sells his daughter as a slave, she will not be freed at the end of 6 years as the men are. Now, I know there's all kinds of Bible scholars out there that could rip me to shreds on this and say, well, no, wait a second, Phil, you don't understand. Why don't you guys do the same kind of nitpicking when it comes to this whole thing about laying down with a man being an abomination? But no, you'll nitpick the hell out of this slave thing, right? You can't have it both ways. The abomination of homosexuality, and you can sell your daughter into slavery. Now, maybe some of you guys, you'd see nothing wrong with that. I do. I don't find anything wrong with a man laying down with a man part, but this selling your daughter into slavery, I'm drawing the line on that. You may not do that, but the Bible here says you can. It says here, if the daughter that you sold into slavery, she does not please the man who bought her, if she does not please the man who bought her, he may allow her to be bought back again. But he is not allowed to sell her to foreigners, since he is the one who broke the contract with her. And if the slave girl's owner arranges for her to marry his son, he may no longer treat her as a slave girl, but he must treat her as his daughter. If he himself marries her and then takes another wife, he may not reduce her food or clothing or fail to sleep with her as his wife. You better sleep with her. If you take her as your wife, you better sleep with her, pal. If he fails in any of these three ways, he may leave. She may leave as a free woman without making any payment. Well, that's good news for a lot of you ladies out there who find yourself in that situation of having been sold into slavery. But the fact is, the guy's sleeping with his wife. I don't know. Good news for ladies out there. Whenever a woman has her menstrual period, she will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. If you touch her during that time, you will be defiled until evening. Anything on which she lies or sits during that time will be defiled. Now, what does that mean, defiled? What does that mean? Does it mean if it's defiled sounds like a lot worse than unclean. It means like if it's defiled, it's unpleasing to God. So half of my laundry hamper, in other words, is unpleasing to God once a month? Is that what you're telling me? If you touch her bed, you must wash your clothes and bathe in water, and you will remain defiled until evening. I would naturally wash my hands and bathe in water. Do I have to be defiled until evening? The same applies if you touch an object on which she sits, whether it is her bedding or any piece of furniture. If a man has sexual intercourse with her during this time, her menstrual impurity will be transmitted to him. So, boys, you'll start menstruating. He will remain defiled for 7 days, and any bed on which he lies will be defiled. This is Leviticus now, chapter 15. And it continues on. It's a whole half a page on a woman's menstrual cycle. If the menstrual flow of blood continues for many days beyond the normal period, or if she discharges blood unrelated to her menstruation, the woman will be unceremonially unclean as long as the discharge continues. How about taking her to a doctor for an ultrasound or something? Anything on which she lies or sits during that time will be defiled, just as it would be during her normal menstrual period. I see. So if it keeps on going for like 6 weeks... You're telling me these things, man, so I make sure I won't be sitting on any chairs my wife sat on. Never mind the fact she probably ought to be at a doctor's office. If you touch her bed or anything on which she sits, you will be defiled. You will be required to wash your clothes and bathe in water, and you will remain defiled until evening. Here we go again with more of this crap. Now I'm down to verse 28. They got a whole 15 chapters on a woman's menstrual cycle. When the woman's menstrual discharge stops, she must count off a period of 7 days. After that, she will be ceremonially clean. On the eighth day, and boy, this guy's waiting now, what, 3 weeks? On the eighth day, she must bring... Okay, now here's something I keep telling my wife, and she never listens to me. On the eighth day after she stops her period, she must bring 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons and present them to the priest at the entrance of the tabernacle. Why isn't she doing it? The priest will then offer one for a sin offering and the other for a whole burnt offering, and this way the priest will make atonement for her before the Lord for her menstrual discharge. God! And you think she'll listen to me? Are you done menstruating? Yes. Well, then where the hell are the turtle doves? What the hell is this? What are you trying to pull here? Mike Schaefer, my producer, is asking, do poor women have to do this too? What, go score turtle doves? Or what the hell are you talking? Yes, they do, man. What if they ain't got no turtle doves? You can get them at a... Go down to Vaughn's. They got a special on turtle dove right now, don't they? Over to Winn-Dixie? I don't know. So in this way, you keep the people of Israel separate from things that will defile them so that they will not die as a result of defiling my tabernacle and yada, 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 yada. Jesus, the whole... Here we go back more to intercourse. These are instructions for dealing with a man who has been defiled by a genital discharge or an emission of semen? For dealing with a woman during her monthly menstrual period, for dealing with anyone, man or woman, who has had a bodily discharge of any kind, and for dealing with a man who has had intercourse with a woman during her period. So in other words, if I sneeze, I got to go find a turtle dove? So there you go, folks. That's from the Bible, and that's Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19 through 24. So you guys go right ahead and take all this stuff literally if you want to. If you don't mind, I'll bow out of that jam session, because I ain't looking for no turtle dove once a freaking month. Number one, what if it ain't turtle dove season? I bet the turtle doves went what? Extinct. Oh, went extinct. Yeah, Craig Taylor, my engineer, feels that because of this, there are no more turtle doves. You're going to get a ticket from the game warden. You go out looking for a turtle dove, Jim. I got to have one. Why? My wife's on her period. Uh-huh. Okay, could you just stand still for a minute? I'm going to call someone. No, you don't understand. I got to take the head of one to the priest so he can burn it. Or what? Or I'll be defiled. Do you know, folks, the point being that if you were to follow the Bible, you'd go to the nut house. And the guy putting you there would be a rabbi. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I see where the Atlanta Braves have brought John Rocker back, and I think that pretty much sums that up. We know exactly how the Braves feel. The guy plays baseball, and he may make a couple of comments hither and thither, but friends, we have got to win ourselves a pennant. And I can't disagree with that. The guy's a moron. He's an athlete. He's a professional athlete. Oh, I know some of them have college educations. Don't get me wrong. It's few and far between you're going to find an Alan Page. Do you remember Alan Page? You probably don't. He was a defensive lineman for the Minnesota Vikings. He is now a member of the Minnesota State Supreme Court. He's a brilliant man. Virgil Carter wasn't much of a quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, but he did play. He was also a professor of mathematics at Xavier University. And there were others who excelled above and beyond the world of sport. But by and large, professional athletes have nothing to say of any value. And that's why when they do open their mouths on matters beyond sport, they wind up sounding racist, sounding ignorant, and sounding bigoted. And it's generally better that they not say anything. Now, John Rocker, I might not have disagreed with the things that he said about New York City, other than his use of the term queer to a sports writer who is jotting down every word. I do have to point out to him that he was the moron that decided to let this guy into his life and let him write about it. Look at pal, everything you say to a sports writer is on a record unless otherwise told, okay? Unless you're otherwise warned. So now he says that he threatened the guy's life. We know what he said about New York with the queers and all of this stuff. Guy's back on the Atlanta Brave roster because they need that closer, man. They've got to have that flame-throwing closer, and he's the man. What do you think? Bad decision or good? Do you think that they're going to wind up regretting that? I'm going to tell you, those cats, by the end of this season, it doesn't matter. It ain't New York anymore. It's everywhere they go. Every place they go, it's going to be hell on wheels as long as they got that guy on their roster. You heard the ball players on the Atlanta Brave team. They don't want that guy in there anymore. Because they know better. They know if they're going to open their mouths, talk about sports, nothing else. I never heard an athlete, and I have heard some who've got a couple of things to say, but most of them are imbeciles. The dumbest of the dumb are golfers. Golfers don't get where they live. Professional golfers don't understand that it's America and the 21st. They just wander from one golf course to the next, and they have themselves a beer after a round, and they go and they get in the car, and Jews and blacks and that whole thing. Well, I guess, you know, I mean, like Tom Watson did that thing. He said, you know, my wife's Jewish. I don't think I can play in this tournament. Really? Oh, I didn't know that, Tom, that my wife was Jewish. No, that they didn't let Jews into this course. Golfers are pretty stupid. Hockey players ain't that bright. Football players are probably the smartest of the group. They did 4 years of college. Didn't they, Mike? Didn't they? Oh, Mike says to me something about how they didn't go to class when they were in college. Oh, come on. Anyway, that's Rocker. And what? Oh, they had another shark attack off the coast of Alabama. Have a great summer.
What those young girls are trying to do.